Ramble.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Good morning to our listeners, but also good morning to you all. I'm so happy to see you. Welcome to You Can Sit With Us, everybody. I'm Ariel, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello.
Becky.
Hi.
And Matthew.
Good morning.
And Pesto, of course.
Hi, Pesto.
I feel like Pesto's sort of our like mascot dog today.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. He's being so good.
Did you know pet in Spanish means mascota? Or it's like translated to mascota, which basically means your family mascot. Isn't that the cutest? Mascota.
That's really so cute.
Mascota.
Wait, so which of your dogs is your family mascot?
I guess all of them.
Pesto's kind of like the star child.
He's the best behaved.
Ooh,
he's the one that you've had the longest.
Tell us who's your favorite.
Well, Emma, we've had the longest. Because we got Pesto to be Emma's companion.
Oh.
So.
Emotional support, Pesto.
But
who do you love the most?
I love all my children the same.
I don't believe.
Really? Yes. Even when they go pee pee and poo poo on places, you still love them?
Yes. I mean, you do that too, Becky, and I still love you. So.
I only pee peed and poo pooed on your couch once.
It was one time, Matt.
One time. Get over it. Grow up.
One time too many.
Oh, man.
I remember when Bowie pee-peed and poo-pooed on your couch when he was a puppy.
Yes. I mean, it just happens.
It just...
You know, kids, dogs.
I felt so bad.
Maybe it's
bad.
More about your couch than the animal. Maybe your couch is bad.
It's a new couch.
There's clearly something wrong with your couch.
100%. 100%.
Because I have never had any of my friends pee on my couch.
Not yet.
Not that you know.
Now you're asking for it.
Pee-pee poo-poo magnet.
Goodness.
Well, everybody, today we're going to manifest some things into existence. And we all four of us really know what it means. We have a full understanding.
Yes.
And Finding man totally knows what it means. We're going to go to a man fest.
I feel like that's my cue because I have absolutely no idea I actually do have a sense of what manifesting means, but it seems like you guys are talking about something that is beyond my knowledge.
You don't like, same. I feel like it exploded into our culture like over the last like 10 years, but I've been hearing it a lot more in the last two. Right?
Yeah. You're our resident like manifesting expert.
I don't know if I'd call myself an expert, but I find myself manifesting little things. This is all just for fun. I'm not manifesting like crazy things.
Is it like magic where you're
give us the definition.
Like it's basically think like something into
the
reality.
Laws of attraction. So if you believe something will happen and you focus on that and you start to modify your actions to get to that, then the universe will attract it into existence.
Oh.
So it's like the power of positive thinking plus behavioral changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Sometimes it makes sense because the more you think about something, the more it's at the top of your mind and the more you're going to take action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, so I sometimes read those like workout magazines, like, you know, like Self and Shape
Love
and
your
stuff.
Magazines.
And they say that if you think about working out your abs, but you're not actually working out your abs, you actually are working out your abs.
How?
Your brain.
That's just the way
abs.
It works. Your brain is just making your
it's like
abs
biofeedback.
Contract.
Do you also have one of those electronic machines?
It kind of works the same way where like, you know, those machines sort of go and they like contract your muscles. Uh-huh. And if you're thinking about working out your abs, you are actually like sort of subconsciously like contracting your muscles.
Huh.
Is that interesting?
Yeah. New workout.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just think about working out.
Jazzercise.
Lay down in your bed and think about working out. Trust me, it works.
I have like a better worded. It's manifestation is bringing something tangible into your life through attraction and belief. If you think it, it will come. However, there is more manifestation than willpower and positive thinking.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with like magnetics or
I don't
sort of the circle of the universe.
Maybe it's like attention. Like if you're thinking about something all the time, then you'll recognize it more in the world around you.
And if you want something,
you'll go more that direction.
You're more likely to just like change your actions in order to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I know that there was something viral going on TikTok that said like the 3-6-9 rule, where you like write it 3 times in the morning, 6 times at night, six in the afternoon, and 9 times at night. And then
sounds like you're being punished.
I know, right?
It sounds like lines, like in school.
I know.
And so what are some things that that you have been manifesting or that like people manifest? Like what are some common things?
Yeah. So
is it like workout stuff or like?
I mean, a lot of people do workout stuff. A lot of people do like change in jobs if they're unhappy in their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I like a year or 2 years ago now, I manifested a new job.
Oh,
yeah. Because it was like within the same nursing realm, but I was like super unhappy of where I was then currently. And then I like made actionable steps into transitioning into a different department.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I also manifested Joe Jonas at a coffee shop.
What?
But that one's like a sillier one because like I didn't do any action things, but we were in New York for a wedding and Zach's sister gave us like a list of cool stores to visit while we were shopping in Soho. She's like, you have to go here. Joe Jonas was there yesterday. I was like, well, there's no way he's going to be there today, but I'm going to manifest it.
So did you just like, okay, when you say I'm going to manifest it, so when you make that choice, so then in your head, you're saying like over and over again, I'm going to run into Joe Jonas. I'm going to run into Joe Jonas. Or is
I don't
it
think
like
actively, I
you
think
spend like 30 seconds thinking like, I hope I see Joe Jonas today.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's what I did. And then like before we exited the subway, I was like, let's see if he's there. And he was there.
Wow.
I did it with my brain.
That's called stalking.
That's called having a good Dumois account.
I know. Yeah, that's true.
So you manifested like things like seeing Joe Jonas, but in like a serious way when you're thinking about manifesting, like you were said you were thinking about manifesting a new job back in the day. So how did you...
How did I
think I'm confused about the process. Yeah. Yes. What's the process of manifesting?
I think the first thing is identifying a clear goal.
Okay.
And then the second, here, I got a Google article.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Be clear about your goals. Okay. Once you've set your intention, ask for what you want and write it down on a piece of paper. So a lot of people are visual. Okay. A lot of people make like boards, vision boards.
Okay.
Some people like outline feelings or like music and like some sort of emotion that they'll feel like once they attain that goal.
Oh.
And then you start working towards your goals.
Uh-huh.
Also being mindful for what you do have and what you will eventually receive and let go of any resistance and limiting beliefs and make sure to check and change your energy.
Meaning,
there's a lot of steps there.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know, right?
I feel like this is just a very spiritual way of just like accomplishing goals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like goal setting.
Mm-hmm. What's the thing on TikTok that you were talking about before we started recording called the woo woo?
Oh no. I just call things woo woo.
Oh,
like if it's something that's like a little spiritual but still like has a little bit of science to it, it's woo woo. You know,
it's woo woo science.
Woo woo science. Yeah, like chlorophyll water is woo woo science. There's nothing scientific.
But it makes
you
feel good.
It makes you feel good, but no studies have really shown that it actually does anything beneficial for your body.
Yeah,
but it's woo woo, and if it makes you feel good, then
absolutely,
what's the problem? There's no issue with it.
But there are a lot of manifestation videos on TikTok.
There are. Yeah, that's like I'm not in that. First heard about it. Was they're like what I can manifest, and it was like a girl listing all the things, and I had never heard of it before. And then you have said it in conversation before, and that's why I was like, Maggie knows.
I just like really like goal setting. Like I really like writing things down and like checking things off my to-do list. And you actually got me like a manifestation like checkbook at one of these like craft fairs, which I really
that's right.
I was with Ariel and I was like, it says manifesting on it.
Yeah.
And I'm getting it for me.
I'm getting it for her.
It's still January. Oh, we're going into February now. This will be out in February. But I feel like this past month I've been really like reflecting and like planning and goals. So that's why I wanted to bring it up. And I think it's just fun. Like I sometimes when I pull into a parking or like I'm going to go meet a friend. I manifest a parking spot.
Oh, I love that.
So that's nice.
We all need to do that. Never find parking.
Yeah. That's actually, So that's interesting that you like mentioned sort of this parking spot idea, mm-hmm. because I go into a situation like parking, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I'm sort of dreading. I'm sort of like dreading stressed. The process of, and I'm stressed. Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself like, there's not going to be any parking. There's never any parking here. mm-hmm. And it's almost like you are being an optimist mm-hmm. about the situation because you're like, I'm going to find a parking spot. This is going to happen for me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm like, I'm not going to find a parking spot. And I never find a parking spot, you know?
And obviously sometimes I pull in and it's like right in front. Yes. And then there's other times where I'm just like searching aimlessly for 20 plus.
But you always find one.
Manifestation is cool. Sometimes I have to pay over $15 for the lot in downtown. But
ouch.
That's okay. Go.
But it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of different ideas about how to, you know, go about things. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like you're kind of accepting the process and mm-hmm. and kind of also taking a little bit of responsibility for it too. Mm-hmm. Kind of like I am going to create the good things that happen to me mm-hmm. instead of the universe allowing good things to happen to me.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. Cause I'm not here to tell you like, just think it in your head and then things will happen. Like I'm going to be the next
pop star.
I'm going to win the lottery. But it reminds me a lot. My grandma was very religious. She's a Catholic woman, but like anytime she'd like submit her lottery tickets, she'd buy her lottery tickets like once a week and have her numbers. But every single time she'd like shake her lottery ticket and she'd go plata, 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 which means money, money, money. And so when I manifest things, I think of my mom and my grandma because they're a little mm-hmm. superstitious too. Mm-hmm. So it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what other things have you manifested other than Joe Jonas and a job?
Not that those are inconsequential. Not that those are,
yeah. But like things that don't start with a J.
Like you, when you got a house.
Oh yeah.
You did a lot of manifesting for that.
Oh yeah, I did. Definitely. Yeah. We did some weird stuff when we were bidding on houses. We were like, we would submit by the end of, I think we submitted like 14 offers on so many houses, but like by the end of it, we were doing like the most obscure numbers that would add up to like our lucky numbers. And our realtor's like, what are you guys doing?
You were like, it's our lucky number.
It's our lucky number. It was like,
wait, so you would, you would offer a random number
that would like add up to.
That is funny. Mm-hmm. As like the person selling the house, I'd be like,
what is this?
What? 98 cents? Yeah. Are you joking?
I remember when we were closing, we had like the person working on like the big old packet. He like called to clarify and make sure it was the right combination of numbers because it was the most obscure thing.
Wow. That's really funny.
But it worked.
It worked.
It did.
We tried that approach at least 5 times, but it worked.
Try again. You know?
Yeah, right. So it is kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy then too. Like, mm-hmm. if you think something's going to go a certain way, then you kind of like are taking steps subconsciously to make it happen.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you guys, like, I mean, now that you understand kind of what manifesting means, have you guys done that in your lives? Recently, of course.
I don't think I put the same kind of spiritual weight behind it.
You don't make a mood
like
board.
Maggie, I am very goal oriented. So I like create those goals and then put the steps that I need to do to reach those goals. But I'm not like writing it down, you know, 12 times a day or whatever it is, or like really thinking about it.
369. Damn, you fine.
Could you, I mean, do you have to write it or could you like think it?
Yeah, you can think it.
There's
I think
no place
it's whatever.
Like home. There's no place like home.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever like manifested anything. Like you talk about like parking, the parking structure, for example, I don't go into a parking structure going, I'm going to find a parking spot. I'm not going to find a parking spot. I go in, I'm 20 minutes early. I could take my time. If someone needs to cut me off in this parking structure, that is what today is, you know?
Okay.
I'm more of a like plan around it.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of a let the universe happen to you sort of person.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're always early means that you have the like the flexibility to allow that also.
Yeah. I don't like being stressed out when driving. Like I'm not a very good driver. So like I like to take my time, relax.
Yeah. You're putting yourself in a better situation.
Yeah.
Early. How do you guys feel about traffic? Because I feel like for me, I you know, I drove 2 hours this morning, right?
Mm. Crazy.
And I'm kind of thinking to myself that I was manifesting like being in the fast lane. You know, when you switch into a lane, uh-huh. and you're like, okay, this one's going to go faster. Yeah. This one's going to go faster than that one. You know, I totally did that. And it totally worked for me. I was like, I made this decision. I'm not, you know, like sometimes I'm driving and I just like, and I kind of let traffic happen to me. I just stay in my lane and I'm like, I'm listening to my audiobook. I'm good. Mm-hmm. You know, but I feel like today I was really like, no, I'm choosing this lane.
Right.
This is going to be the fast one. Okay, now I'm going to switch. This is going to be the fast one. I know that's the worst way to drive because you're always disappointed.
Switching the lanes.
Yeah.
You're a weaver.
But I feel like, so sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like today I totally manifested, you know, it, like I can call it that now because I know what it was. But I totally manifested being in the fast lane. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought about it. You willed it into existence.
Yeah.
And you did it.
Like, and I am not by weaving, you made sure everyone else was in a slow lane.
Exactly.
That's true. You slowed them down.
You slowed down
traffic. Exactly.
That's what they do say, yeah.
You were the master of your own fate that day.
I'm slowing this lane down.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Yeah, there was like a little cartoon going around about how like traffic jams happen.
Ooh,
and it was just, it's one car switches a lane. So then the car behind it does slow down for like a hot second. And then they showed what? The sort of ripple effect that switching lanes has on traffic.
Tell me more about this.
That was it.
Tell everybody more
people,
about this.
People need that to was it. Like understand like, more about how their actions affect other people. Yeah. That's what you're saying, Becky. This is a metaphor for life.
Yes. Okay, because I actually have never heard this before. And yeah. So the fact that you guys just told me that by me switching lanes, uh-huh. it made more traffic.
Uh-huh.
My life is changed. Yeah. My life is changed.
The woman was too stunned to speak.
I seriously had no idea that
Do
I was doing
that. Do you think you
that.
Switching lanes like moves traffic forward? Is that why you like to? Well, you
oh looked, gosh, no. Yeah. No. It's a purely selfish act. Mm. Purely selfish. Absolutely not. No.
Yeah. It does.
Please. What else? What are the ripple effects? Like tell me, tell our listeners.
That was it. It's just when you switch a lane, the car that you've gone in front of slows down.
And then it causes the car behind them to slow down. And then probably the one that you moved uh-huh. from, you know, probably had to slow down too because it saw you moving, you know, so uh-huh. people yeah. are more cautious when people are switching lanes or they should be. So yeah. it causes everyone to slow down in the situation. Mm. And then yeah. just the cars behind them then have to react to that. So then usually the seconds that they're slowing down mm-hmm. as you go further away, it gets longer and longer. So that's why you're like on the highway a lot of times and there's all this traffic and you're like, there's nothing to stop for. There's no accident. There's no uh-huh. construction. There's nothing. It's just like congestion from people yeah. moving lanes. And weaving and stuff. And it just yeah. ends up slowing everyone down.
And so I bet that's why that happens at that intersection downtown.
That crazy one where it's like 12 lanes
trying to get off uh-huh. onto the, but they're gosh. Also but you're also
like
merging.
6th Street
yeah like 6th Street downtown
whatever yeah. it is yeah. yeah have you guys ever been the non-Californians mm. sorry Maggie but I don't know if they do this where you were from mm. or if it's just like an LA thing the cops weaving to slow down traffic if there's an accident I don't know if our listeners have seen that anywhere else, but in LA,
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Will try and specifically slow down traffic if there's an accident, or sometimes they just do it as like traffic control
or debris.
And yeah, if there's something that they need you to slow down for, a cop will go just zigzagging left and right over all of the lanes. Mm-hmm. And the first time it ever happened to me, I had never seen anything like it. I was the very first car after the cop.
Yeah.
Why did I take my phone out and record it? Who knows? But I was like going so slow and I was like, Keith, look at this. What's happening? What's going on?
The exact same thing happened to me and I had no idea what was happening.
It's confusing.
I was like, why is he driving like a crazy person? Like, is this cop, like this cop is like physically trying to make everybody nuts. Like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was
and
wacky.
And then there was like a hay bale in the middle of the road. And I was like, he's trying to stop all of the traffic so that somebody can push this hay bale off.
Yeah.
It's always the worst when you're like the first car behind it too. You're like, oh,
you're like, no.
Right now you're trying.
Couldn't have been one more.
You're looking at the car that was in front of you, speed off. You're like, oh, gosh, darn it.
Is that just LA, Maggie, though? As our resident Californian?
I know. I can't think of a state. I mean, I'm not in states for that long where I'm doing like a lot of freeway driving. I would assume they do it other places, but I've seen it a lot in LA because we have such big highways.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, did they do it like in the, did you ever see it when you were like in high school?
I feel like yes, but like our freeways in
Maybe a California
Orange County
thing.
Aren't as wide as like the 405. The 405 sometimes is like eight lanes wide. I remember picking up a friend who flew in from Portland. Yes. And she was taking photos of how like the size of the 405, they're like, we don't have freeways like this. So I think we just have so much room and maybe it's more calm. Yeah. And it's more like watching a cop car go back and forth that many lanes. You're like, what?
That's crazy.
What?
Okay, I'm going to ask you guys a question.
Let's go.
You have to promise to be honest.
Okay.
We can cut it out if it's too honest. We can cut it out if it's too honest.
Okay.
Do you sometimes go into the carpool lane even if you do not have two or more people in your car?
Well, with an electric car.
Well, with an electric car, you can. You have a sticker.
So yes, I do it
all the
time.
You have electric cars, don't you?
Not me. No. Prius, baby. We're living in hybrid.
We haven't been able to update the registration to a new address, like the DMV. Will not allow us to for some reason. So we haven't gotten that luxury. But also, the time of day that I'm driving, the carpool lane is just as slow as regular traffic. So I'm like, I'm not missing out on anything.
Yeah.
So,
I don't. So no. I've never done it.
And no.
I'm too scared.
I never did it when I didn't have an electric car. I was too afraid I would get.
Wow.
Yeah, it's scary.
Wow, you guys are
too scary.
It's a very
scary.
Good like self-policing thing.
Yeah. Interesting. I've never done it. I think I've done it once for like a freeway interchange because I was late to clinical when I was driving from.
You were like, vroom.
I like, because you know how like there's certain freeway on-ramps where you can enter through the carpool lane or you can enter on the right side with the regular people. And it was flying. I was like, I'm going to miss my class. And I was like, wee!
It flew over.
Bobo was in the car. It counts.
But I see a lot of people do it.
Yeah.
Even if they just do it for a little bit to get around people.
Yeah.
To zigzag. Yeah. Do you do it, Ariel?
She looks guilty.
Ariel.
No judgment. Oh. I don't judge.
I do. I do do it. Yes. I go into the carpool lane if it is going a little bit faster, and then I will kind of jut out of it. I think it has to do with risk tolerance. You know?
Well, if you have a kid in the car, isn't that...
Yeah, that's carpool.
People then too.
Absolutely. So. He's a people.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are people.
Yeah. Dogs.
Kids are people too.
Dogs are not allowed, even though they're expensive. They should be.
Ariel, I'd love to hear.
Okay, mom.
Yes, Pixie.
I'd love to dive a little bit deeper into that. Now, when you're alone in the car, not including a child, because obviously carpool, I think I'd just love to see what's going through your head in that
You're like, are you breaking the law?
Like, are you like, I'm breaking the law, here I go? Or is it an afterthought?
That's a really good question.
The ends justify the means.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
She is a resident bad girl.
I know.
She's the only one who's been
bad girl.
I think I like being a little naughty.
Ooh, mom, breaking the rules.
I think it feels a little naughty. to like go into, because you're not supposed to.
True, you know? True.
Uh-huh. And like, I don't stay in there for very long.
Oh, so not only are you breaking into the carpool lane, but you're leaving before it's time to exit. You're going over a double yellow.
I definitely, I always do that. I absolutely have to.
Which is basically a walk.
Only if I absolutely have to. I usually wait for the dotted
line. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Likely story.
I know.
Oof.
You got me. You got
some self-reflection.
Okay. I won't do it again. No, it feels a little, you know, like I get bored when I'm driving and I'm sort of like,
no. Ooh. Is it because it's
so
a victimless crime?
This is how she got here so fast today.
I know. She's like, I thought I was going to be late.
But I wasn't. I also get a sick pleasure from the Google Maps number going down. You know, when it says that it's you're going to get there at 8:54.
You got to beat it.
And then it starts dropping down at 8:53, 8:52, 8:51. And I'm like, fuck yeah.
Saving time.
It's the little things in life.
You really, you know. You gotta enjoy the process just as much as your job. You know? Yes. I manifested getting here on time.
You're doing it subconsciously.
And I
subconsciously
went
into
the
carpool lane, even though it was only me in the car.
What other victimless crimes do you commit, Ariel?
Oh, that's a great question.
How about you, Becky?
Yeah. Well, my crimes only have victims.
Why don't you name some victimless crimes and we can all decide whether we have
raise our
done
hands if we've done it.
You have not put back the shopping cart.
Definitely have not done that before.
You've never put back the shopping cart?
Not put it back.
So you have done this?
Yes.
Where you've left it in like an empty parking space?
It's like too far away, or you know, it's
just
like, are there other carts?
Never. Yeah. There's a radio show on like some alternative station, and they do, it's called Cart Narcs. Mm-hmm. And this guy will wait in his car people to not put their carts away. And then he goes, wee-oo, wee-oo, wee-oo. And he goes out after them. And he goes, hi, I just want to ask you, like, why didn't you put your cart back?
Oh my God.
People have like grabbed his phone and like thrown it on the ground.
Oh my God.
People got like violent when you asked them that why they didn't put their cart back.
They get called out. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
No, I'm a serial cart put backer. Yeah. Like if there are a couple carts around me, I will like,
you I'll grab those carts
grab
and
those
put them
carts.
Away.
Yeah, no, I just put my cart in one of those carts.
There are two kinds of people in the parking lot world. Yeah.
If I am like the only person, and like my cart would clearly be the only cart there, then I'm like, fine, I'll go put it away. But if there's a couple carts that are already hanging out, I'm like, I'll fill mine with their carts.
Too tempting.
I also think, you know, that like there are cart people that come around, right? And so if there's three carts together, that makes it easier for them.
Makes it easier to grab. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are other victimless
crimes?
Oh, do you ever not pay your meter? I feel like maybe these are just crimes against the city.
Never.
Do you ever do little crimes because all your tax money is going to the military instead of your own neighborhood?
Like double parking or something like that? Like double parking? Just to get like just to go in and grab your coffee or something.
Okay. So I think I have a theory on double parking. Mm-hmm. Huh. You can double park if there are no other parking spots around. Zero other parking spots. Mm-hmm. Totally fine. Mm-hmm. I will not get mad at having to go around your car. Mm-hmm. LA in particular, people did not do this in Chicago. Like literally yesterday we're driving. Someone double parked next to a car, probably 10 feet ahead was an actual curb parking spot.
No.
Wow.
Whether or not that curb parking spot was there when the guy got there, it was like, why wouldn't you just drive 2 more seconds? Mm. And or block a driveway.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead block of one driveway for 2 minutes.
They wanted to feel naughty.
Naughty.
It was probably Ariel's car.
Power. You know, like
was it Ariel? Like, was it Ariel's car?
There were two babies in there.
I wasn't here.
I did knock on the window. You okay in there?
Oh my God. What are some other victimless crimes? Oh, not picking up your dog poop.
Oh, never.
I feel like I usually always do. There's been some times I haven't, but probably 98% of the time.
Oh, yeah, like if you forget a bag and you're like, I'll come back for it.
Or if
I'll
it's just like pure it. Liquid, like what can you do?
I've picked up Bowie's poop with leaves before, like multiple leaves. Yeah, because when we lived in a certain neighborhood, the place that he was living got infested by rats, and rats survive off of dog poop.
Oh, wow.
Because it has all the vitamins and nutrients to sustain them. So I always
That's like, keep so Maggie's picking it up to keep the rats away.
Yeah.
And it's nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like true. In your old neighborhood had doggy bags.
Yeah.
Because I was
them on the street.
Dog that's sitting nice. The pups once and yeah. forgot the bags and they were there. And I was like, oh, bags. Yeah.
I've definitely picked up poop with leaves before too.
Yeah. And a coffee cup.
But usually it's only if I'm like in my neighborhood and I know a lot of my neighbors. Yeah. And mm-hmm. so I'm like, I like, what if they lawn? Saw me?
What if know? They know like, what Bean's poop looks like?
What if they saw me and they're
looking out the window? They're like,
I have this fear of somebody coming out and being like, you left poop on my lawn.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not so much the, like, this feeling of civic duty. It's okay. more the fear of retaliation. Yeah.
Yeah. Repercussions. But isn't that the whole yes. reason we don't like commit crimes and do bad things is the fear of.
Yeah.
That true. Is. I mean, hopefully morally nobody wants to murder anyone, but I would say a right. big deterrent of murder is going to jail forever.
Yeah, for sure.
Self-policing.
Self-policing.
Yeah. Self-policing.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. I got like some guy ran after me and Bowie one time in a neighbor in our old neighborhood because someone let their dog off leash and it like picked up on their Ring camera and there was a poop and I was the only one on the street because the owner had just gone back in and they're like, you let your dog poop on my lawn. And I was like, it wasn't me. He's like, my Ring camera went off and now there's a poop and you're on this street. I was like, it wasn't me. I swear.
Whoa.
He was gaslighting me so hard that I was like, was it me? And I was like, no, it wasn't. I have bags. And I like showed him my bags. And then I think later he went into the Ring footage and actually watched the video and realized.
Did he have nothing but time on their hands? Like, grow up. It's a poo-poo in your yard.
There's a lot of other things to spend your time doing.
Yeah, yeah. There are bigger problems in the world.
Like manifesting.
Wait, I have to know. Did he apologize?
No.
Oh my gosh.
No.
That's crazy.
No. That's
what a dingus.
Yeah.
Well, to bring it back to manifesting, Becky, you actually manifested something yesterday.
Oh my God. Yes. So yesterday we didn't tell Ariel about this story.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I subconsciously manifested.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So we were, Keith and I were sitting at home, just finished doing laundry, and Bang Bang Noodles, our favorite noodle spot in the world,
yum, yum.
Popped up on my Instagram and I was just thinking about it and like 20 minutes passed and I was like, let's go to Bang Bang Noodles. They're over, you know, in a place that they're closer than they normally are. And I was like, oh, let me text Matt because he lives around, mm-hmm. I don't want to say how close, maybe you live further away, maybe you live right next door, maybe you're 10 miles away.
We all live in LA.
Everyone lives in LA. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll text Matt and say, hey, do you want to go meet us at Bang Bang Noodles? We're going to leave now. And it just so happened
that I was already walking on my way there.
No way. Yes. So then we're like, great, we'll leave now. We get in our car. We're about 10 minutes away. And I go, okay, I'm going to look on Find My Friends to see if Matt left already or not. And who do I see in the same area,
hello.
But Maggie.
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, do you want to meet me and Matt at Bang Bang Noodles? And Maggie sends me back a picture of the Bang Bang Noodle guy making her noodles.
I was like, she's I'm here there. Too.
So all three
that's
of
crazy.
Us separately decided to go to the exact same spot
yes.
at the exact same time.
It would have been one thing if you were there at 12, I was there at 1, Matt was there at 2.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what was the time? Was it like a weird time?
No,
it was like yeah. 3 something, it was like 3, 3,
and 3, that 3. Is a weird time.
It's a weird time.
It's not lunch. It's
nope.
not dinner.
Nope.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Snack time.
That's so strange.
Isn't that weird?
So weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Becky manifested it all this together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It sounds like witchcraft.
Like, it was. It was just, it was one of those things I was like,
oh, it's a party.
I was like, oh, look, Maggie looks like she's kind of near there. Maybe she's shopping.
Yeah.
That is so fun. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Oh,
yeah.
I wish I was here.
I know. If you were here, we would have called you up and been like, well, now you have,
I'm sure
to,
you would have,
now
you have to. I'm go. Sure you would have already been on your way.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
You were here, you know?
Becky clearly didn't manifest me there.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Ouch. Oh, no, mama.
Oh, no. I would have brought you nudes.
I'm so sorry, mama.
Yeah, she knew I was.
I knew she was in Big Bear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Skiing up a storm. Ariel, I need to know about skiing. I've never gone skiing.
What do you want to know?
I don't really understand skiing. How big is a slope? How far is it? How fast do you go? How hard does it, how much does it hurt when you hit the snow?
And
like, how do you not hit other people? And aren't you scared because Liam Neeson's wife died?
That's scary, right? Excellent questions. I'll start at the beginning.
About Liam Neeson's wife. She was the mom in a Parent Trap.
Oh my God.
The blonde lady.
I thought you were talking about it in a movie.
No, in real life. Same with Sonny Bono. Also died in a skiing accident. And this French guy just died in a skiing accident.
Okay,
he's an actor. There's a famous French actor.
They're probably doing like kind of crazy slopes.
You know? That's what I don't get. I'm like, what is to me a slope looks like in Mario Kart.
There are
debris that you jump over.
Oh no!
There are trees that you have to go around.
You're in the Olympics.
Sonny and both Liam Neeson's wife both hit a tree.
They hit a tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so most of the I'm not gonna say most because there's a lot of different types of skiing. So there's I mean, obviously there's a difference. You're asking about downhill skiing, and because there's cross country skiing, which is very different.
Let's start there.
Sure.
Downhill, meaning you're going down a hill.
Yes.
Cross country?
Flat.
Flat. How do you ski on flat?
It's a workout.
It's like running.
Skating.
It's like running and skating. You have like these special skis that, so it's basically like running on the snow. Yeah.
Why?
But your skis kind of slide, but you have to propel them with your muscles.
Your muscles?
Yeah. Whereas downhill skiing, gravity is propelling you. And you have to use your muscles to keep gravity from propelling you faster.
How do you know when you're at the bottom? Is there like a finish line?
No. Usually they are designed so that like there's a lift at the bottom or there's a lodge at the bottom.
Flat.
Yeah. And it gets flat. Yeah.
Have you ever been worried about getting stuck in a lift? I've seen some videos. People get stuck and then you have to hold a big blanket.
Never gotten stuck in a lift.
And then they have to jump into your blanket.
Funny story, one time, it was actually when I was learning how to ski, and I was getting onto the chairlift with my aunt, and I had the poles, you know, because when you're skiing, you have two poles and you put them in your lap when you're on the ski lift. So I had put them on my lap and she sat on them when you're getting onto the lift. And so instead of like pulling them out, I pulled them out and it like propelled her forward all of the lift. So then she fell to the ground. Luckily it was right when you get
on.
Going
up.
There's usually like a huge pile of snow from when they like clear there. So she just fell like in this huge pile of snow and it was fine.
So then did you continue up?
Yeah.
And she's just in the snow pile and had to wait for like the next chair.
Yeah.
Wow, Matt.
Exactly. Yeah.
How old were you? Was that like last year?
Last year. It's actually yesterday now. I think I was in middle school.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds like a kid thing.
You little shit.
And it was the first time. And then it was the first time I was on a ski lift by myself. You know?
So you were scared.
Yeah.
Did you
manifest that for yourself? Your first time on a ski lift.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I really wanted to do it by myself.
So the ski lift never stops. It's like getting on Haunted Mansion.
They can stop it.
If there's an accident, like somebody falling off
or being literally pushed off.
Or like dragged. Mm. Okay. Yes. So you take this lift. You're going up.
You go. So you hit the top of the hill. Exactly.
You jump off. Oh yeah. You jump down.
No, you slide off.
Slide off. Okay. Is there a man at the top of the mountain, like on a water slide that tells you when to go?
Mm-mm. No.
You just go at any time. What about the other people around you? How do you collectively decide? Like,
you just have to avoid them. There are no lanes. Everybody skis at a different pace and you kind of have to, like, that's actually part of skiing. It's just like driving where everybody drives at a different pace and you just sort of have to be aware of the people around you, you know? And so usually I'll be at the top of the hill and I'll sort of clock like, okay, here's a snowboarder. Cause snowboarders, they like flop down sometimes. They'll stop in the middle of the thing. So I try to avoid the snowboarders and And then you can see, you know, like, okay, this guy's probably going to be fast, but, and this guy's probably going to be kind of slow. And, you know, this family is together. You just sort of take all these things into consideration. And so I like to take like the side route a lot. And some really good skiers will go into the trees or, whoa, you know, because it's exciting, you know, but usually the
death
the,
always
it's
is.
Like a ride.
Yeah. It's like a ride. Yeah. So usually the,
I mean, not like a ride because rides. Engineers make rides.
Engineers made the hill.
Yeah, because engineers make the slopes.
God, what is God but an engineer of the world?
A structural engineer. Right?
So the slopes are these big wide open spaces where the trees have been cleared. Where they
Ariel. Like, what? The trees have been cleared.
The trees have been cleared. Yeah.
The trees.
Yeah, usually
God's decorations.
They made Christmas trees out of them. Caused by
skiers.
Yeah.
We found it. It's not big oil. It's not giant corporations. It's ski slopes.
Well, there's different different levels of difficulty. Mm-hmm. There's different slopes that are different. Mm-hmm. Like,
how many are there? I know there's green, blue, and black. Are those the only ones?
Well, then they have like
double black,
double diamond, double, mm-hmm, you know.
Do you triple. Both ski black? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Whoa. Sometimes.
Whoa.
I haven't skied like one weekend in the past 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
I skied
a little rusty.
I skied double black 4 times yesterday.
Whoa. 4 times.
But she lives to tell the tale.
You know what? It's mostly
unless
like,
she's a ghost right now.
I don't.
And we just manifested her being here and that we were all actually like, well,
this is going to be interesting for the listeners to see. I love where this is going. No. So I hate lines. I think you guys all know this. Mm-hmm. And
hate lines, but also hates cutters.
It's true. I'm a selfish human being. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I was like, I just wish there weren't other people at things I was doing.
Exactly. I would love to be the first in line all the time. And so what Ned and I did was we skied this double black, and then we would go to this lift that had zero line because there weren't that many people skiing the double black. And then we would zip up the lift, do the double black again. Mm-hmm. Zip up the lift, do the double black again.
I mean, at least you're good enough to do double black because you don't like to be around people, and that's a lot of stress.
So when it comes to the difficulty levels, what is that entailing? Like, what is difficult about a double black that is not difficult
steeper.
About a yellow?
It's steeper. Yeah, it's usually much steeper. Sometimes they don't
more narrow.
They don't groom it as well.
Got some moguls, which are like little bumps.
Yeah.
Moguls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do they have
moguls.
Like
moguls?
They're like speed bumps, you know.
Yeah, like they're
Richard
like
Branson
bumps.
Laying
speed
down.
Speed bumps.
Moguls of business.
Yes. Jump me.
Exactly.
Mark Cuban's like, you got this.
It's just turned into a completely different sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. But usually they're pretty steep. But like, and the steeper it is, the faster you go, obviously, because it's gravity that's propelling you.
Gravity.
And so in order to slow down, you turn. Because if your skis are going straight down the hill, then you're going to go straight down the hill. Mm-hmm. But if your skis are, going sideways, then you're going to stop. Because, you have these long, pieces of wood that are sitting on the snow that are holding you up. And so if you turn going down the hill... almost like doing a serpentine, then you can go at whatever pace you want. But you have to use your muscles in like your legs and in your abs to kind of maneuver yourself into those turns. And so
also a workout.
Yeah, it's also
sounds like a big workout.
It is. Yeah. It's a good like.
Does it hurt when you fall?
Oh yeah.
It can, yeah.
I've fallen many times.
Oh yeah.
I went skiing for the first time last year and Zach was like, "You can do a blue. You could do it." And I like completely, it was like my first day. He's like, I can see you can handle it. So I went down this like steeper one and I just completely like fell forward.
Yeah. Oh,
and like falling in skis.
Slid down.
You like don't really know how to get up.
That's how people like break legs and stuff because your skis can go in all different directions.
Ugh.
And so like, so your skis are attached to boots. And the bindings are designed to pop off,
right?
For safety, so that your leg doesn't get like twisted. But sometimes they don't, and so you're stuck like in a very weird position, like after you've fallen. My family likes to call it a yard sale. When you fall and all of your gear all your comes stuff, out.
A yard sale.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And so sometimes, you know, we'll come home and like we'll have like a scratch on our face or something like that. And my mom had stopped skiing a couple of years ago. And she'll be like, you know, oh, what happened? And we're like, a yard sale.
Oh,
and a yard sale.
Well, now everyone wears helmets.
Yes.
Like when I learned how to ski,
nobody wore helmets. I didn't even know that helmets were like a thing, that you could wear a helmet until I was in my 20s.
I wore a helmet.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, now everyone wears
helmets.
Me
too, yeah.
Well, I guess it's kind of like when we were little, you didn't have to wear a helmet when you rode a bike.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Probably very similar.
Oh my God.
But yeah, like Jesus, now a lot of people wear.
What are you, dirty laundry, Pastor?
Yard sale.
He's just like,
yard sale.
That's exactly. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
I think you would.
You need to try it at least once.
No, actually, I don't think Becky would.
I feel like you would.
I think the more you described it, I was like.
I feel like you would like just try like the bunny slope. That's actually quite fun.
I would do. I've heard of tubing, the way that they do tubing on like lakes
really
that they
too.
Do it on snow. I feel like I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
You can hang with me on the green.
Bunny slopes, bunny slopes. I would do what Wes was doing on your Instagram story, where like I like had a little harness on and someone was just pulling me around.
Mm-hmm. So he was pulling me.
Oh, okay. Because I would have your children pull me around.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I would have
yeah,
Wes
yeah,
pull
yeah.
me around the slopes. I'd be like,
so sledding.
Sledding.
Yeah. Mm. Cool.
Into sledding. I'm into that.
Yeah. Mm. Snow sports.
Snow sports.
Yeah. Bobsledding. You know, just jump.
Yeah.
Becky likes the off-ray ski.
Easy. Yeah.
She's like, I'll meet you part. At the bottom when you're
the
done.
Cocktail hour.
We'll get a
hot tub. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hot chocolate.
Coziness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fires.
Oh, yeah.
I get that.
I like all those things.
I want to go to the Swiss Alps. I've seen photos.
Ooh, yeah.
It looks cool. But I don't know how to ski. Very skillfully. I don't feel like there's greens in
there
the Swiss
are. There are. There totally are.
Yeah.
Their runs are longer because the mountains are higher.
Mm. I want to get strapped to your back just so I can like see it.
I'm
like,
I got you guys. I actually skied with a backpack for the first time.
Ooh, wow.
Because
snacks?
Last time we went skiing, snacks.
Snacks.
Last time we went skiing with Wes, we had to carry all of his gear.
Oof.
And so I got a special skiing backpack that can hold skis. And so it's actually a game changer because now when Wes, you know, in the middle of the hill is like, I want to ski down on my butt. I'm like, fine. Your skis. Strap him to, you know, just strap him to my back and like, I just follow him down.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's again, it's about the process. It's not, you know, it's not about getting to the bottom of the hill. It is about
you're not racing.
Loving how to ski.
Hmm. Would you do water skiing?
Well,
yeah, I think I'd do water skiing.
Yeah.
And you're being pulled.
Really? I think you're being pulled. Yeah. I think it's the like,
but then when you fall, it hurts.
Yeah. And when you try, it's really hard to get up.
I mean, when you're walking, you fall, it hurts, you know?
That's true.
That's true. Truth or true. It does hurt when you fall as an adult. Nothing is more awkward than an adult falling down. It is just like...
So true.
Anytime I see it happen to someone, anytime it happens to me, I'm like, it's so embarrassing. I was holding once like giant IKEA bags on either side of me and like a purse.
Uh-huh.
And I just bit it and the bags were so heavy that like inertia took me.
Oh,
and so
no.
I went forward and I just like dropped to my knees and I was like, so fucking embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing to fall as an adult.
Yes. I feel like it's even more embarrassing for really tall people.
Yes.
I'm looking at Miles.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because you have a lot farther to fall.
Arms and legs everywhere.
It's always bad.
Longer arms.
Just
lives.
Yeah. Just lives in alterations.
I tripped on a crack in December and gashed my knee open really badly. And it took forever to heal just because it's like, such a mobile joint.
Right.
Uh-huh. Oh my God. And there was one person staring right at me as it happened. And it was the most mortifying thing. I was like, it didn't even hurt, but he stared at me and he like tried to like help me up. And I was like, don't touch me. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt.
I love when strangers like don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I felt the like two times I've ever run in my life. I just bit it in front of this guy, like right on a corner. Like I was trying to avoid him and just fell. And he like stopped and was like, and I was like, don't leave me.
Just as awkward for them as it is for you, right?
He was like, I don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And we were both like looking away.
I like how you say bit it. Usually when I am referring to somebody falling, I say ate it.
Oh, ate it, bit it. But they probably come from the same like etymology.
Yeah, what do you guys say?
I see.
You fall hard.
Yeah, when you fall hard, do you say like
wipe out.
Yeah. I wiped out.
Look at that. Wipe out.
No, I say, oh, I totally ate it.
That sounds so like snowboarder.
Pro. I know. Yeah. I know. Yard sale, dude.
Yeah, yard sale.
Yeah, I know. Oh,
guys, well, that was beautiful. Should we answer a question from the audience?
Let's do it.
Love that. Yeah.
Should we answer an audience
question? It says, hi, all. First, I want to say how much I absolutely love your pod. I always look forward to Tuesday mornings. You all have helped me through these crazy COVID times, and I can't thank you enough. I, a 19-year-old female, am currently in my first year of college. With Valentine's Day around the corner, I can't help but think about my non-existent love life. I'm 19, and I still haven't had my first kiss or boyfriend. Granted, my last 2 years of high school were in COVID's peak. While I am aware that a boy is not going to solve all of my problems, I still would like someone to do all the cute couple things you see in the movies. I am also grappling with the idea that society is teaching women that they are valuable only if they are desirable because of their appearance rather than their personality. Especially as a taller girl, I'm 5'10". I feel like I am seen as undesirable due to my height and lack of traditional feminine traits.
I could go into that.
Yeah.
You wear those heels.
Yes. I want to be an independent.
Models are tall.
Exactly.
Is that a model?
5'10". Girl, you a model?
A model?
Yeah. I want to be an independent young woman who doesn't worry about her relationship status as I realize I have the rest of my life to find a partner, but that doesn't stop me from thinking about it from time to time. I know that you've touched on the idea of being a late bloomer in previous pods, but do you have any advice for me? Thank you.
I can address the height thing.
Address the tall elephant in the room.
As a not small person, mm-hmm. I definitely, when I was about her age, you know, like in my later teenage years, mm-hmm. 18, 19, I was like, I wanted to be small because mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. you are, you know, when you're like looking for love, you know, you kind of, I don't know, as a woman, it's there's sort of this understanding that like you're going to be with somebody who is taller than you mm-hmm. and who is bigger than you, you know, like, I don't know, maybe it's like a sexual thing. You want somebody who can pick you up and I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that definitely affected me as like a, you know, a taller woman. Yes, models are tall, mm-hmm. but you never feel like a model when you're walking with your, you know, like mm-hmm. friends and none of the guys are your height, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, mm-hmm. like nobody's looking at you being like, oh my God, you're so statuesque. They're like, oh, she's so tall.
Mm-hmm. What did you do to like overcome this? Because you and Ned are about the same height.
We're about the same height.
Yeah, you're about hitting the same. Same with you and Zach mm-hmm. are like roughly mm-hmm. right around the same height. Mm-hmm. What do you think helped you in the world of like acceptance of your height and comparing like your relationship to
what do you think?
Other I'm not as heights. I was like five. I'm 5'8" and a half ish. But I thought I was like massive when I was in high school. I like towered over, especially like 14 that age, towered mm-hmm. over all the people in my class. And there was a point where I didn't want to be tall anymore. And I thought if I stopped playing sports, which I didn't do, I was like, I'm not going to be tall if I just stopped playing sports. But now I think in college, I was like, I wish I was taller. I loved wearing heels. I loved being tall. I sometimes still wish I was taller than I am now. But I can't remember when that changed.
Me
but
either.
It took time. I feel like
I definitely had to make a conscious decision when I met Ned. Mm-hmm. I adore my husband and yes, we are about the same height, but mm-hmm. yeah, when we first met, I was like, okay, well, he's not super tall. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I kind of had to be like, is that okay with me?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, you kind of maybe it comes with age or experience, or
and I think it's like more comfort in your own body. Exactly. Just because like you're still growing when you're 19, 18, 14, like that age of puberty where you're still growing and you're still like discovering yourself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think it took time. And
I think also that as you age, you understand the pressures and the gender roles that society has put on you rather than what you value and what you look at. Right. Yeah. So like society or those gender roles are, we're told that, oh, you want a man that's bigger than you, stronger, can take care of you. We're, you know, it's modern times. We don't really need that. We're not, you know, fighting
anymore.
Stuff,
it's not survival of the fittest anymore. Yeah.
Like, I would actually argue that like, it's when you accept your height or whatever, you know, you accept your huge feet or your like, you know, enormous hands, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
Once you accept those things, then that actually sort of attracts people to you, you know, like manifesting having a boyfriend. Then you can, you sort of emanate confidence in a way that makes people very attracted to you, you know, friends as well. Not just like romantic partners, but like people want to be around you when you like, you know, kind of have when you accept yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's like what RuPaul always says.
I love it. Tell me more.
He always says, how in the hell.
I quoted it so wrong one time on this podcast.
What did you say?
I don't know, but you need to go back and listen to it and be like, wow, fake fan number one.
Fake fan number one.
Right? Now you're going to make me feel like I'm saying it wrong. Now I'm like second guessing.
Do it.
It's like the end of every like RuPaul episode.
Okay.
It's like,
you're not quoting,
how in the hell are you going to love somebody else if you can't even love yourself?
Yeah.
Right?
That's so true.
And I think I said it the other way around.
Are you going to love yourself? Are you going to love other people?
Are you going to love yourself? I said something backwards. Someone's like, oops. Yeah. I think it's a grass is always greener kind of situation too. Because I could take that and plug it in with like being shorter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like Rachel and I were just having this conversation. We've started doing baby dates where Rachel, the girls, and I go get coffee.
Oh, cute.
And we have, Rachel and I are like pretty similarly heighted. She's a little bit shorter than me, but like our proportions are pretty similar. Uh-huh. So we like talking about clothes. And I was showing her Dakota Johnson. I was like, she is my style icon. She's my everything. Like, I want to own every outfit.
Everything.
She is my everything. I love her. The thing with the limes, hilarious. It's just a big joke on the world. But Rachel was like, do you ever look at these like people that you admire, like these style icons, and think, do I like their style or do I just like that she's 5'9", 5'10", and thin?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
Yeah, it's hard to go beyond that.
Yeah, it's hard to look past that when you're like, oh yeah, that is just a t-shirt and jeans, but I like it so much because I know I'll never look that way. Like jeans will always be too long on me if I don't get them tailored.
Mm,
yeah. So it's like, sort of that grass is always greener. She wants to be shorter. Yeah, I want to be taller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's always.
Mm. And then when it comes to, you know, like finding somebody to do all those cuddly Valentine's Day things with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've talked about being late bloomers on this podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't have a boyfriend when I was 19. Mm-hmm. It's the sort of thing where like all these things will come with time. Mm-hmm. And COVID is hard.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
When she makes it especially challenging.
It's unprecedented.
No prom, no graduation. Not that those are like, I felt bad for kids when they were like, you know, there are bigger things in the world than like, who remembers their prom? Who remembers graduation? It's like, shut up, old people. I was like, let these kids ruminate in their sadness right now because they've watched every teen movie under the sun and they've watched kids go to prom and they've watched kids graduate. It does suck that they didn't get to do those things.
It does.
That is terrible.
Even if they don't even want to go, just being even have... To be not even have the option to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can do all of the Valentine's Day stuff with your friends.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not the like sexier parts of Valentine's Day if you're not into that.
Yeah.
But,
could do those things with yourself.
But,
there we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Truth or truth.
Valentine's Day is a good excuse to have like a funny themed party where you like get together and watch a movie with friends or like a sappy romantic comedy. 2 mm-hmm. years ago, we got into a party bus and had a dance party and got hot dogs together. As
Becca, tell us what you do for Valentine's Day every year.
Every year. I feel like it's already like Try Guys canon.
Yeah.
What I love is seeing people tag me and Keith in their Valentine's Day festivities because I feel like it's sparked a nation of Outback Steakhousers.
Single-handedly
you should collect commission.
Right? I was like, I should have an affiliate link for Outback.
Yeah. Becky and Keith go to Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, we do Outback Steakhouse every year for Valentine's Day. And then we used to go see the 50 Shades movies when they were out. And then once they were done being out, I think it was COVID.
Yeah. That sounds right.
And I was like, oh no, that doesn't work. But this year we're going to rent that Marry Me movie with J-Lo and what's his name? Owen Wilson.
Are we invited?
Yeah, everyone's always invited.
Obviously, thank you.
Are you catering in Outback or what are you doing?
Yeah, we're going to cater in because Outback is still like kind of a scary place. Like we've gotten takeout from them before and it's like one of those 50-50 places where you walk in and you're like, nobody here believes in it. 100%. Nobody in this restaurant thinks that this is real. Like, let's leave. Let's get out.
Fair enough.
But yeah, get some takeout. Watch a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy being where you are. Enjoy.
Don't stress about what you don't have.
I feel like this whole episode has just been about, you know, it's like manifesting. Enjoy the process. Be an optimist.
Yeah.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
It's about the journey, not the destination.
That's right. Yeah.
Even skiing.
Even skiing.
Guys, you didn't even know we could tie manifesting, skiing, and Valentine's Day all into a similar
idea. We wrapped it up into a beautiful little red bow.
Yeah. Beautiful bow. Mm-hmm. Guys, that is the end of our episode, though. Mm-hmm. Another one bites the dust. Maybe that's where bites
it
comes from.
Maybe that's where it comes from.
Bites the dust.
Another one eats the pavement.
Yeah. Eat pavement. I think I've heard that when like skateboarders fall, they ate pavement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, download us wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you wash your hands, pee after sex, get vaccinated, get boosted.
Quick clarification, you should pee after sex, even if it's just sex with yourself.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tip of the day.
Yep. Tip of the day. Mm-hmm. Always be peeing.
I know we were talking about, you know, a little, we're talking about self-love. Pee after that sex too.
Pee after anything goes near your coochie-wooch.
Yeah. And stay hydrated.
Or your peen.
Coochie-wooch.
Or your peenie-ween.
Or your peenie-ween, depending on what's going on. Woo-woo. Woo-woo, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.